is 3:35 on a Wednesday afternoon on the Mike McFeely Show here on KFGO, and that means that it is time for our weekly segment with the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Twins on Fox Sports North. You know him as Dick Bramer. Tom Kelly knows him as Richard. I just know him as my friend Dick. Hello, Mr. Bramer. How are you doing?
We're doing good, Mike. Before we get into baseball talk here today, I must tell you, most of the time, you introduce me with that song, Chicago's 25 or 6-4, and somebody in your listening audience sent to me through the mail a North Dakota license plate that spells out 25R624, and I have it prominently displayed in the broadcast booth at Target Field.
What? That's cool. That's awesome. Wow. That's the KFGO listening audience, Dick. They love their Twins baseball and they love Dick Bramer. So you can.
Well, I don't know about the latter, but we're counting on the former.
Hey, big deal yesterday. Twins won the game, but bad news. Joe Mauer, concussion, 7-day concussion disabled list. What's going on here, Dick? Is this something that Twins fans need to be worried about with the Justin Morneau and Corey Koski situation, or is this something totally different? What's going on with Joe Mauer?
Well, I think we've learned, Mike, over the years, each one of these cases is judged on an individual basis. Every person reacts to these things differently. I don't think anyone is too alarmed at this point, but if we've learned anything, it's that these things are unpredictable. Joe stayed back at the team hotel when Ron Gardenhire met with the media just a few minutes ago. Joe woke up from a nap and texted Gardy and said that he was feeling better, been doing a lot of sleeping. He took a terrible foul tip in Monday's game against the Mets, and he didn't really think so much about it or too much about it until batting practice yesterday. So we're going to have to wait and see. Anytime it's Joe Mauer and it's an injury of any kind, it's worth some concern. But the hope is he'll react as Ryan Domet did just a couple weeks ago, and 7 days will be enough.
So we had a caller call off air, didn't want to go on air with you, Dick, but he asked the question, so did Mauer have a specially made helmet, or was there anything yep. different than everybody else has, or what's the status with the helmet
well,
that he had made?
Well, oddly enough, when Ryan was coming off the disabled list, I spent about 5 minutes, I suppose, talking with Joe about whether he had ever suffered a concussion, and we had a fairly lengthy discussion about it, and he was just talking and bragging about this helmet that he had crafted for him. I asked about masks, and he was talking about helmets and how this helmet that he has been wearing now has kept him from having a concussion, and honestly, within 48 hours, he apparently suffered a concussion with the new helmet and the new mask.
In today's world, and this is something that always amazes me when I think about it, but there is so much emphasis put on concussions that to the point that a foul tip now, a bad foul tip as it was, can cause a concussion, and guys are going to miss a week or more than that, and it affects people's careers. Dick, back in the day, sadly, there was a time when somebody would take a foul tip off the noggin and feel woozy and everything else, and the thought from management and from baseball was, hey, rub some dirt on it and go back out there and play. You know, are you some kind of wimp? Are you some kind of loser because you have a headache after taking a foul tip? It's a whole different world today than it was even 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say even 2-3 years ago before they had the 7-day concussion list, and particularly within the American League Central here in Detroit, they're hoping to get Alex Avila back here sometime soon. He's just beginning some baseball activities. Their catcher has been on the 7-day concussion list, and they say that when he comes back, he's going to have a heavier mask, a more sturdy helmet with more padding and all that. And I think, Mike, if you and I wanted to make our first $1 million together, we could come up with some headgear for catchers that would prevent all this from happening, because it has certainly been a growing concern in the game of baseball.
If you have a question or comment for Dick, you can certainly give us a call, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. Our email is kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. This is more of a reminiscing type email than a question, Dick, but I'll read it. It comes from Bob, and Bob says, if Dick would talk about the national champion Twins he brought to Pelican Rapids to the high rise of elderly people quite a few years ago. He said, I was a delivery driver at the time. Bob goes on to say, if you could have handed each of the people in that high rise $1 million, they would not have been as happy as they were when Dick showed up with Kirby Gladden, and I forget who else was there. Hats off to Dick Bramer. He is a great person.
Well, I tell you what, we surprised a lot of people, including my parents, who were living in the high-rise in Pelican Rapids. They knew I was coming. They didn't know, and it was Kirby and Tanya, Kirby's wife at the time. And I told them I was going to stop by and say hi, and they didn't know that Kirby was going to be right behind me. It was a neat visit, and something that they both remembered, and my mom up until her dying days talked about how Kirby Puckett stopped and visited her after his career. No, it was during his career. It was probably about 93, 94,
wow.
Something like
so
that.
So at the height of his career, Kirby yeah. Puckett made a little sidetrack to the Pelican Rapids high-rise to, I'm sure as a friend of yours, to do you a favor and to put smiles on people's faces. That's pretty cool.
There were a lot of jaws dropping in the lobby at the Pelican Rapids high-rise when, not when I walked in, I was a frequent visitor there, but when Kirby walked in, there were a lot of blinking of the eyes and jaws dropping. That was quite a memory.
Is that, and I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, but is that common for professional athletes to do things like that, and maybe we just don't hear about it, Dick? Because the stereotyped professional baseball player is the guy making, you know, $15 million a year and driving his fancy cars and wants nothing to do with the fans and yada, yada, yada. Are most Major League Baseball players more normal guys than we think who will do something like that or no?
Well, I can only really speak about the Twins players and the organization. I think we've been lucky because we've had guys like Puckett and Herbeck and now Mauer and Morneau who are, you know, no pun intended, regular Joes. They're just, you know, normal people. They make a lot of money, and they're celebrities, to be sure. Now, in this case, though, with Kirby, I should point out we were out on the Winter Caravan and probably had made a stop or were going to make a stop in Fargo somewhere during that week. So Pelican Rapids kind of happened to be on our way. But, we've really been lucky, whether it's a Michael Kadire or a Torrey Hunter. I think they're people in the organization, I'll put it this way, people in the organization learn very quickly how it's so much easier to be a nice guy and be friendly to fans than it is to be a jerk. And we've really been lucky that way. And saying that, I'm watching Torrey Hunter step into the batting cage for the Tigers here at Comerica Park. We've had some really good ones in the Twins organization.
Oh, Torrey Hunter was one of my favorites. Torrey Hunter was great. And I didn't know him well. I didn't cover him, obviously, as much as you did over your career, Dick. But Torrey Hunter was one of those guys that, like I always say, a Jamoke from Fargo could come up and strike up a conversation. And it didn't matter whether you were from Fargo or ESPN or Valley City or Dumont, Minnesota. Torrey just had that personality that he'd have time for you. He'd strike up a conversation and ask you about, hey, where are you from? Fargo. I've been to Fargo, and just have a real conversation with you. He's kind of a cool guy, or is a cool guy.
And I think that's why, even though the Tigers are in the Twins division and all that, it's obvious the Twins aren't going to be in the playoffs this year, and almost as obvious that the Tigers are. There's one really good reason to hope that the Tigers win it all this year, and that's Torrey Hunter. He deserves a championship. He's been a great ambassador to the game, and that's one of the reasons he came here to Detroit, is because he felt they had a chance here to finally get him what he really wants, which is a World Series ring.
So every time I have you on, Dick, every week I ask you for the State of the Twins address. Now, last night's game, a good ball game for the Twins, 6-3 victory over the Tigers. I think one of their better victories from a fan standpoint of the year, just because they were able to beat the Tigers and a little excitement in the ninth inning between Glenn Perkins and Miguel Cabrera. Good win last night, but kind of the same thing overall the Twins are seeing this year, right? It's just kind of it's a struggle.
Yeah, there have been snapshots where the team has looked pretty good. Maybe last night's game was one of the better snapshots of the year, but if you run the season through in motion pictures, it's not been a very good year for the Twins. Had a very disappointing homestand against teams in the division, and we'll hope that this team can have a prolonged stretch, at least through this road trip, where they're taking on a couple of really good teams here with the Tigers and the Indians.
Just a couple of minutes left with Mr. Dick Bramer, the broadcast voice of the Minnesota Twins on Fox Sports North. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us, 237-5948-800-880-5346. Couple of questions come in via our text club, Dick. One of them says, Dick, do you think Joe Mauer would be sitting out if the Twins were in a hot pennant race?
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's any question about that. He's got concussion symptoms, you know, and you've got to take care of whoever that is that has that. This is one of the great changes that's occurred in the last few years in baseball, protecting the player. I guess the manner of the question or the question suggests that there's nothing seriously wrong with Joe. We don't know that. We know that he did not react well to batting practice yesterday, so he suffered an injury, and the Twins are hopeful that it's just going to be 7 days.
Yeah, I don't. When you're talking about head injuries, and keep in mind a concussion is a head injury.
Yes.
If somebody's trying to imply that Mauer is dogging it because he has a head injury, that's just wrong. You can get on athletes of all shapes, sizes, and everything else, because over the years, guys have dogged it. You know, they faked a sore ankle or a sore knee, but you know, guys also play through injuries. I think when it comes to a head injury, you can't imply that Joe Mauer is somehow sitting out on purpose. That's
well,
just not right.
here's the number. I just looked it up, Mike. The Twins have played 124 games, 123 before last night when this problem surfaced, and Joe had started in almost all of them, but he played in 113. So you can question, I suppose, what you want about Joe. Don't question his durability because he's been one of the more durable catchers in the game.
Another text comes in and says, Dick, will the Twins keep Justin Morneau now that he's cleared waivers? What's the status of that? The texter wants to know.
Well, he apparently had cleared waivers several days ago, and now basically we're in August, and he can be treated just as he was in July, meaning the Twins can trade him to any team they want. I have no basis for this in terms of people I've talked to directly, but the sense I get, maybe it's just a wishful thinking on my part too, but I think Justin's going to finish this year, and I think finish his career with the Twins. I don't know, frankly, Mike, whether they've got his replacement ready.
Right.
As the Twins have struggled for 3 years trying to put a competitive team on the field, I don't know that they ought to create another situation where they need to search and find somebody. So it's my hope, certainly, and my belief that Justin will re-sign with the Twins in the offseason.
We're going to go to Cliff, who's on the road. And Cliff, we're very short on time, so make your question very brief if you could. Thank you.
Okay, Dick, say with Florimon and Dozier playing excellent, if not great defense, batting average is still a little low, and Rosario and Sano probably coming up next year. How do you see the infield shaking out, and can one of them play the outfield?
Thanks, Cliff.
Rosario is a converted outfielder. They moved him to second base. Dozier, I think, has taken several steps more than Florimon has in terms of securing a spot for next year and beyond, only because Florimon's batting average has dropped into the two teens. Sano is a third baseman. The Twins are committed to him being a third baseman. The Twins have a need there. Rosario's a different matter. He might be asked to play second base, and Dozier might be asked, perhaps. This is getting way ahead of ourselves, because I don't think either Sano or Rosario are going to be counted on to be with the Twins next year. It might happen, but Dozier could potentially be asked to switch back over to shortstop. We'll have to wait and see.
Thank you, Dick. Always good to talk to you.
We'll do it again next Wednesday,
yep.
All right?
You bet. Dick Bramer, the broadcast voice of the Minnesota Twins. On